You needn't be a communist to care about your community.
Be careful, you guys.
Community Garden with Oscar Perez.
Tepo, tepo, te toko toko I fenuku, te toko toko I ferangi, toki a tuki a, ko te mumu, ko te afa, ko te mumu, ko te afa, ko te mani I kai o ta, takiri pana pana karu, irunga karu, iraro ka whae ta more, irunga ka whae ta more, I raro tēnā ko te pū, tēnā ko te pū, te pū, o rongo no rongo muri, ora ka oa e.
This tō parapara or incantation talks of the significance of a po almost being referenced like a church spire, something that transcends, and it acts as a conscious reminder in the physical realm that there are deeper spiritual identities that lie within nature that we believe. And this one specifically has reference to Whenuku and Whenuku, and that's our sky mother and sky father. And it's a tauporapora that comes from up north, and it's quite sacred. And it's used to encourage life and regeneration, but also it puts onus onto us as a collective and our kaitiakitanga, our guardianship that we as human beings have for the land and the skies.
That was Grayson Goth of Arahina Hoara with introducing this with the tauparapara, as he said. And so this is the second part of our chat with the team behind Arahina Hoara about using maramataka to restore the damage and heal the wounds done by Raupatu and the effect that the dispossession of whenua had on tangata whenua. So we started by discussing how Raupatu is more than the taking of land, but also the taking of mana.
It affects in a way of mana and loss of mana. So when you own certain paradise and tupuna have owned a certain paradise, say Mission Bay for example, and they had their marae and their way of living outside the and moana, they ate the kaia and the moana. So when they've been stripping of that, it's literally like you're stripping of all your mana. So for that, then they've just then turned into, we find strategies as human to try and shut down our thoughts and processes because we're not going to think that that's any better. So alcoholism is really one of the traps that, you know, took over our people, which then showed the mana taken. So instead of saying, oh, you know what, lost our land, we're right, we're bigger than that, we can go do better, it's like, you lost our land, you took our mana, we're not even going to speak, we don't even know what to do, he tapu. Just going to drink, because drinking's better. Yeah. Then what happens is then we get entrapped with this need for addiction. You know, I'm not saying we that's all of our people, but I know the effects of colonization and the way who it affected, especially if the hapu isn't strong, or the iwi, you know, isn't strong in regards to whanaungatanga, then it is quite hard and it's so tapu. Alcoholism, drug abuse is tapu. So put it in that area, that then comes with, that's my whakaro, my thoughts on why tapu is a sacred thing. It's when something's made wrong or not made wrong, it's just not right. And to make something noa again is to then tapu, say a pōhere process is a tapu. So you make that right by eating or having the hongi first and having a kai. Kai generally makes things better, you know. So that's my whakaro when it comes to our...
I think how I'm understanding your question is what makes Māori specifically vulnerable to colonisation? And I think we're asking more deeply of the realities. We need to be clear that urbanisation was subsequent to colonisation, right? And dispossession is a product of that. So we'd be naive to think that colonization works because somebody made it work.
Yeah, exactly.
But we look at the systematic results and the institutions. But what I wanted to say was that what makes Raupatu traumatic and something that we need to redress as a country is because I certainly believe, and it's the belief of AMTK, Awhina Mai Tātou Katoa, that this dispossession can be correlated to colonization. And the effects we're dealing with, homelessness, short-term release that Kayla was talking about, are effects of such.
Yeah.
And then I think what Kelly was talking about is us needing to come together in order to address that as one. What makes us particularly vulnerable in the face of such oppression is that land and whenua underpin and is integral to a Māori identity. So we talked about that level of oneness and connectivity. We genuinely feel, and much do many of our tauiwi here, feel connected and one with the land. We see ourselves. And on a personal level, that's what's so amazing about promoting Māori regenerating their sense of self-worth, sense of productivity, their sense of self through this culmination of mixing with the whenua.
So I've just been thinking about, you know, what colonisation actually means, what urbanisation means, and how we can start to heal that going forward with what we do as this generation of people. So the Raupatu obviously meaning the loss of land, but that's a fight for the people that are fighting for land. We've also got loss of culture, loss of language, loss of story, in my case, loss of food, and what I do to try and bring the solutions back that our tūpuna had. And it's also the reintroduction of new ways to have all of those things as well. So I think, yeah, Raupatu is the big chunk of reason why there's so much hurt and so much mamai and so much loss of mana. But there's also the things that we lost that can't have a financial amount across it. You know, it's the, you know, my nanny, two generations ago, she lost the right to speak her language, which means that my mum didn't learn it, which means that I didn't learn it. You know, so I've chosen as an adult to learn about Te Ao Māori or the world of Māori. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that haven't been given the opportunity through family or through education because that's not what was prioritised. So how we're looking to try and heal that and what we're doing within the city is if we really look at how we're changing what we're doing, Maramataka is an avenue for people to appreciate exactly how they feel, exactly what their energies are, and whatever their day-to-day life is and how that can be made better by understanding that some days you are just going to need some more sleep. And it's not a 9-to-5 thing. You know, you don't live a 9-to-5. Your energies don't live 9-to-5. They don't naturally kick into a high on a Saturday and Sunday. They don't naturally make you love your kids anymore just because you've got more time for them, you know. So if you were to understand your energy levels and what they allow you to do and what your responsibilities should do, that will bring you into the things that give you sense of belonging and give you connection back to the land, to the people. You'll start noticing different things in your environment. You'll start rebuilding your culture. You'll start learning about the stories that your rohe or your area have. And although these things have happened in the past, what we can do going forward is introducing Maramataka on a level that affects us day to day as well as allows us to make decision based on the energies that we've been given for the day. And yeah, again, I am walking around a corner into Griffiths Garden today and I'm seeing 30 people, you know, who are rough sleepers, who are sitting there and singing song with the Māori choir, you know, and reintroducing that culture, that language, the waiata, the story. And that's the first glimpse of, you know, turning the corner. The reality of this is we're bringing Maramataka to the city.
And that sort of made me just reflect on how this project actually evolved, which was we've been on the site for a couple of years and we all know and we're aware at the end of last year there just seemed to be like a surge in synthetic use in the city. And the site, Griffith Gardens, was designed as a living room for the whole community together. And we suddenly found that, you know, there was a whole our vulnerable community were in a really bad space at that time. And so a lot of the infrastructure got taken away. And then we also had a lot of the tent phenomenon of the tents really popping up around the city. And there, you know, Auckland has a lot of homeless people who are really fragile, and we do have communities who are really trying to look after them, but it's often behind closed doors. And what we see in the open is a really low vibration of those, of that community, of their potential. And so I was really mindful that I wanted to find a way, and Grayson and Afina Mai, we really collaborated on this. You know, it took us, 6 months to really arrive at a platform to create a context in the city that set them, this community, up really well at the beginning of each week, that had created a space for them to feel cared for, to feel seen, to reconnect to each other in a playful, high vibration way, created by their own community. So this is one of the really powerful things that in terms of loss of land that we're talking about, is that we're about to lose that space. And that space only exists because we're having a railway built, and that's a station. We really, I'm really mindful that, you know, we have the heart of the city as an organisation, but we really need a soul in the city. And, you know, a soul can't just happen in the abstract. It actually has to happen in the physical realm. And I think what we're really now very mindful of is, you know, where are the places where communities can heal themselves, celebrate themselves, have fun, not behind closed doors, but actually within public view.
I can't reach the potatoes.
Community Garden with Oscar Perez.
This one's in there.
Go forth and prosper.